we're holding at the beginning of the Gemara on some Ches on the day. To recap, the Mishnah had told us, so we in the previous Mishnah we talked about that if you had a chas, if you had a korban that was shechted shalo yishmoy, or in the, not shechted, that was that melika, a chas or an oves oves, where the melika was done with the wrong thought, or the wrong part of the, or the wrong part of the mezeach, etc. We said, nevertheless, the melika helps at least that it's not matame in the beis abliyah. It's not considered nivlach oves tahor that we matame a person and swallowed it. Our Mishnah had continued on that. You have some cases where the same rule applies also to the problem during the melika itself. For example, we said in the Mishnah that if a posel does the melika, then it's also not the time of the Beis. A posel on the face of it, meaning a zar, a tome, etc. On the other hand, and then we also have some other cases, if a kohen did it with his left hand, if he did it at night, or if it was kulin inside the azara and he did shchita, or if it was kodshim that he did melika outside the azara, where he did shchita outside the azara, so he's chayv kares for shechting it outside the azara, but nevertheless the shchita helps that it's not considered an avera anymore. On the other hand, and therefore it's not a common basically. On the other hand, we continue in the Mishnah that if there were issues with the melika itself, that the melika itself was done improperly. For example, he did it with a knife, or he did it to a chulin bird, or he did it to kodshim outside the azara, or he did it to a bird that is not in and of itself fit to be brought to the korban. It's too old, it's too young, it's missing a limb, etc. Then he said it is the time of the day. And he said, the Mishnah had said, the general rule is, where did the psul take place? What kind of psul was it? Was it a psul bakodesh, or was it a psul shaloi bakodesh? And we discussed at the end over there that Rashi understands Bakodesh and Shalai Bakodesh, meaning that the psul happened before it came to the Azara versus after. Tosfos argues on that, because Tosfos points out, let's say you have the case where Melika was done with a knife that takes place in the Azara, and we're still saying that that's considered not psul of Bakodesh. That's the point, in other words, it's not considered Shchita either. So anyway, Tosfos gives a couple of other possibilities what psul of Bakodesh can mean. It can mean something that will be kosher by other, where you'll find a similar kind of thing as kosher in other cases, as we will discuss in the Gemara. Or it can be the kind of thing where it's the whole im olu lo yodu thing, that's kosher to the extent that if you put it on the mezeach, then it's stainless. Okay, so that was the Mishnah.
The ones that are going to come in the Via is what?
So that's what we said in the Mishnah. We had a bunch of examples where the melika itself was done with a knife, or where the melika was done to a bird that is not in and of itself a korban, either because of a kulin or because it's not suitable for a korban because it's too old or young or is missing a limb or whatever. And also the case where it was done to a kodshim, to a bird which was supposed to be a korban, but it was done outside the azara. So all those on the common basis.
Outside the azara and the bird.
Or kulin bazara, or the bird is not suitable for a korban. Omer Rav, so Rav says, when we said in the Mishnah that Sulim are not Matam, if they did Melika, are not Matam of Beis Abliyah, and also then we said that if it was done with a knife, if it was done with the left hand or a knife, then it's not Matam of Beis Abliyah. So Rav says it's not so simple. Smoil Valila in Matam of Beis Abliyah. Yes, like the Mishnah. Let's see. He says that if it was done with the left hand or it was done at night, then, like the Mishnah said, it's not the time of Reis Abliyah. To that extent, it's considered a melika that makes it no longer an avail. On the other hand, Zor of Sakin. On the other hand, if it was a Zor, did the melika. And Rashi says not only a Zor, it means also all the other kinds of Sulim, an Onan, an Oro, etc. So if it was that, or Sakin, or it was done with a knife, Metamin the Beis Abliyah, then they are Metamin the Beis Abliyah. So different than what our Mishnah is saying. Our Mishnah has said that if it's Sulim, do it, it's not Metamin the Beis Abliyah. Rav is saying not like that, that if the stulim did it, well, certain kinds of stulim anyway, as we'll see in the Gemara, then it is Matamah Beis Abliyah. So either, I mean, we do have occasionally that Rav is a Tana and he can argue with a Mishnah, but in this case also, the proportion points out, you have a Kisefka that seems to imply like that. Also, Rav can understand that the stulim of our Mishnah is only a certain, certainly a certain limited kind of stulim, not in general, not a zor, for example. Our Mishnah just said Sulim, but it didn't specify which Sulim. Okay. Fine. So the question is, we have to figure out, then according to Rav, what's the difference? Maishna smol, why are you saying then what would be the difference? That if you did it with the left hand, you're saying it's considered a malika, and the reason is the Yisrael Shed of Yom Kippurim, because you are allowed to use the left hand for Avodah on Yom Kippur. Because I mentioned yesterday that you have to put in Gogol on Yom Kippur. He carries in a pan full of coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and a spoonful of Kodesh. And because the pan is heavy, we have him carry it in his right hand. He carries a spoon in his left hand. So there you have an Avodah can be done with the left hand and the Kippur. So therefore, we can argue that therefore there is a certain kashrus in Shmuel. And therefore, when it comes to Malika, it can be considered a valid enough Malika to make it a Kamatamu Beit HaMikdash.
Well, after Yom.
No, but the point is, you still see that there's an Avodah that's done with the smoke. And the Laila Yisrael Shreda Be'evorim of Yodim, fine, you could argue by the same logic then, the reason why if the Malika was done at night, the reason it's not the time of Beit HaBliyah, is because again, you do find a case where Laila is kosher, namely you can burn the remaining fats and the remaining pieces of Korbanos during the night, if the Korban was brought during the day. The question then is, Zor Nami Yisrael Shreda Be'shtita, the question is in that case, why don't you say the same thing? By a Zor, you find that if you do a Shreda of a Korban, of an animal Korban, it's kosher because you don't need a Korban for the Shreda. So why shouldn't you say by the same logic then, once we find that it's kosher for one purpose, then we'll apply it also to Malika over here, and say Malika by a Zor will also be considered a valid enough Malika that's not in the time of Beit HaBliyah.
It's kosher kosher.
No, never mind that. No, it's not a matter of a kavachomer. It's a matter of if we find that a certain kind of soul, that it's the kind of soul which nevertheless in another context would be kosher, then it's considered enough of a kosher malika over here that it's not considered nevela. Now a zar is kosher in other contexts because a zar can do shita. The answer is no, because shita lava voided. The answer is shita is a whole different thing. It's not considered an avoidah. We're talking about you have to have the kind of soul where if it was done in connection with an avoida, it would be kosher. So you have, in other words, again, that you have, normally avoida can't be done with the left hand. That's when Gadol carries in the spoonful of kodesh, which is an avoida, with his left hand.
Never considered another.
Well, that's what the Gemara is going to ask in a second. The Gemara is going to ask in part Adroma, actually. But yeah, the rule is that, yeah, that's the exact
thing.
No, we're talking about soul kodesh. We're talking about soul kodesh. Yes, because it's been... No, because we learned earlier in the Masechta. It is one of the four avodas as far as the dinim of pigul and as far as the dinim of shalai l'shma, granted. But it's not really an avoda. Precisely because it can be done by anybody. An avoda, the general definition of an avoda, is something that has to be done by a kohen. Yeah. So smol and laila, you can say within avoda itself, you find times on the kosher. Smol by the kohen gadol and laila by avodah mitzvah. A zor, the only thing you can find that's kosher is something which is not an avodah. So therefore, you can't apply from that to Melissa. That is what Rav is saying. Okay, so the question is, Loi, you're telling me that shchita is not an avodah? The Ha'amar of Zera, shchita pora b'zor tula. Rav Zera says that if a zor shechs the pora adyuma, it's possible. And umachve Rav Allah elozu b'chukra. And Rav signaled when he was teaching that, or when he was told about that, he signaled that the reason why that is because the prophet says that a lozer has to do it. A lozer meaning the son of Aaron. He was the gan at that time. And the chukka, and the prophet describes those chukka of Torah. And whenever it says chukka, it means it has to be done this way and no other way. So you see that if a zor shechs the Torah, it's possible. That's the answer. Shiny part of the Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis. The answer is the part of Adruma is different because it's Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis. It doesn't have solutions like rules. So yes, obviously that's a separate case. The avoiders for it are not really considered an avoider. But fine, you have that only occurring. The question though is, the Lloyd called the king, who in that case shouldn't you make a Kavachomer? We have this discussion earlier in the session. Shouldn't you make a Kavachomer? Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis follows for Huna, Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis. If even the part of Adruma, which is only Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis, only has solutions domain, and it has to be shechted by a kohen, how much more so kodshim is there should have to be? The answer is no. Omer of Shisha, Dredi Ravidi, no, because not necessarily
if it's
for the paradruma, you need a kohen, how much more so you should need a kohen by shechting, or not you could say you could need a kohen for shechting kodshim. We know you don't, it's just a tear of the work. But we should consider it an avoda. We should consider it an avoda, even though you don't need it. The answer is, the Amar of Shisha, you needed to have Amaris anyway. No, because one has nothing to do with the other. You can have something that requires a Koyin, even though it's not an Amarida. No different, for example, than seeing and diagnosing the Goyim. Torah, the Lava Avoida, yes, truly not an Avoida. Uboya Kahuna, and yes, the Torah tells us it has to be done by a Koyin. So fine, you have certain things. There's a cost of that to be done by a Koyin, regardless of whether they're an Avoida or not. You can say the same thing as far as Shechting, the Far Aduma. It's not an Avoida. Shechita of anything is not an Avoida. Not Kodshid, not Kodshim Izbeach, and not Kodshim Edekabai. Never consider an Avoida. However, special, there's a cost about the Far Aduma that has to be Shechted by a Koyin. So no, so we're back to, therefore, Shechita is not an Avoida by any Koyin, and not even by the Far Aduma, except that there's a cost of saying you're a Koyin. Therefore, just because the fact that a Zor can do Shechita of a carbon doesn't mean, therefore, that Malika of a Zor should be considered Malika. That's the point. By the way, hello, the halacha, by the way, is not even like this Gemara over here. The halacha is that actually even the Shechita of the Far Aduma can be done by a Zor. Because the Rambam summarizes, you never have a case where Shechita is possible by a Zor. So even the Par Aduma, this that we're saying in the Gemara, because there's a cost on it, that's only according to one opinion. Halacha is not like that. You have other Gemaras that
it has to be done only by a Kohen.
That it doesn't have to be done only by a Kohen. The halacha doesn't have to be done by a Kohen.
It
doesn't. Doesn't.
Including the last
thing.
It has to be done by
a Kohen. It has to be done by a Kohen. I would suppose
is that.
I have no idea. It's a good question. I have no idea. Shita in general can be done by a woman, although we talked about that before, and we'll talk about that again at the beginning of Kulin, but...
The conclusion is, an Avoda is not necessarily what has to be done by a Kohen.
Exactly. Right.
So what is the guy that says Shita cannot be done? Oh, Shita care of the Nassim, is that it?
Yeah, we had Elder Adoni. We had Elder Adoni over there, yeah.
Where is that? I didn't
know. It was back at the beginning of one of the previous programs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on over here. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the point is, therefore, so far we have, therefore, Rav has a reason to make a distinction between Smoil and Lila on the one hand versus Zor on the other hand, because Smoil and Lila, you do have cases when it comes to Avoida, where they're kosher, whereas a Zor, you never have any Avoida, kosher by a Zor. Question is, Benelach Miboma. Fine, but why don't we learn instead from a Boma? On a Boma, as we'll learn towards the end of the Masechta, there you can also bring Oifus, but on the other end, you can bring birds as Korbanos, but there you don't have the concept that you, there you don't have the concept that you have to have a Koyin. By a Boma, you don't need Kohona. So therefore, learn from that. Once you have a Zor is kosher by a Boma for Malika, then you should apply it, at least to the extent that in the Azara you would say that it's considered a Malika, and therefore that it's not Matana of Zeta. The answer is Miboma, since Azara can do it by since Azara can do Malika by Boma, therefore he should be able to, do it all, therefore it'll still be possible if he does it in the Azara, but at least it should be kosher to the extent of not being available. The answer is Miboma Loyalis. No, we don't learn from a Boma. We don't learn from a bummer because a bummer is a whole different thing. It says a bummer is like a whole thing relative to the Beit Hamikdash. That's a completely different kind of thing. It's not something you can derive from it as far as the avoda in the Beit Hamikdash. The question is, hello, you're telling me that not? I'll give you an example. What did you do? How do we know that if a part of a korban was taken out of the Azara, which now let's say the Emurim were taken out of the Azara, which now makes them fossil, nevertheless, if you put it on the Mizbeach, you don't take it down from the Mizbeach. And the reason is, because we derive from a Bama. We say that by Bama, there's no such thing as Yoyse. By Bama, there's no such thing that you have to have an enclosed area around it. So therefore, by Bama, it's not relevant to talk about Yoyse or not. And because of that, therefore, we say that when it comes to the din of the Ola Lo Yered, we consider it to have enough Gusha that we consider it to have enough connection to the Mizbeach that in Ololo Yered, so we see that we do learn something from a Bama to the Beit Hamikdash. The answer is we're not really learning from a Bama. Tana as those heard of the Ola Samachlai. Really, the Tana gets this that we're saying that there are certain things that in Ololo Yered, and one of them is Yosef. He's really learning that fundamentally from the fact that the Pasuk says those heard of the Ola. And we learn from that that ha'ola, that you have some that certain things that went up onto the Mizbeach stay there with certain exceptions. We have the Pasuk Zoyt, because you have the root Zoyt, which is a mirror. So we'll learn later on when we get into the whole topic of the Molo Lo Yodu, we'll talk about in detail we talked about it before some in the past, so we talked about it a little here and there, but we didn't really get into it in detail. But the point is that we learn basically from that topic that there are things in Molo Lo Yodu, and one of them is Yodu. So we're not really learning from the Bama. We're using the Bama as almost more like an asmat. So therefore, we can still say that you're not really learning from a bummer to something that takes place in the Azara. But back to, therefore, so even though it's true that a Zara is able to be melissa by a bummer, but we still don't use that to prove anything from that his melissa in the Azara should make it not Nevea. And therefore, that's something. Because you don't by a bummer doesn't apply, and you can't apply to it from it to the Bitmaker. The Rav, because the Bama is like a coil, because it's a completely different kind of thing. It's like a coil relative to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So we still can justify what Rav is saying, that there's a difference between Smurl and Lila on the one hand versus Zor on the other. Okay. All that's one of them. Tertius points out, by the way, also later on in the Sugya, we're going to talk about an opinion that you're not even allowed to bring Korbanos on a Bama. According to that opinion, there's nothing to talk about. Obviously, if Zohar can't do Malika by Obama, nobody can do Malika by Obama. But even if we say that you can bring birds, nevertheless, you still can't learn from Obama to the business.
Okay.
The halacha is, I don't think the halacha is I don't know if there's an actual halacha passing on it, because practically speaking, it's not Negei. I mean,
No.
As far as Opus on Obama, it's not relevant anyway. I mean, it's only theoretical, because once the business was built, you're never really going to have to have Bama anyway.
We're talking about during the
14 years when they conquered and divided out Israel. Well, we're talking about, first of all, before Matan Torah, before the Mishkan was set up. We're going to have that later in the Sugya. Second of all, during the 14 years that they conquered and divided out Israel. Third of all, during the period when the Mishkan was in Noven and Giva, and after Shiloh was destroyed. Those are the three periods in Jewish history when Bamas were allowed.
So
it's a very, very narrow window, and the last time was almost 3,000 years ago.
Do you remember that?
Okay. So that's all Rav's opinion. That's all Rav's opinion that we can say in our Mishnah that if a apostle did the Malika, that's not Matam of Beit Ablia. Rav says no, not if the apostle was a Zohar or an Onan or an Or or whatever. Rabbi Yeshanan on the Zohar in Matam of Beit Ablia. Rabbi Yeshanan says no, when we say in the Mishnah that apostle is not Matam of Beit Ablia, we mean at face value, any apostle. So even if a czar or an onion, et cetera, does the malika, then the bird is not the time of the base of the year. So that is
the author of our Mishnah.
Yeah, Rabbi Yechon is an Amor. He can't be the author of our Mishnah. But yeah. Okay. So a czar is not the time of the base of the year. Second, the time of the base of the year. On the other hand, doing malika with a knife, which is not even really, it's neither here nor there. It's not malika and it's not shita. And there you never have to do the thing, which is kosher. Then matama abeis abdiya, then that kind of bird would be matama a person when he swallows it. Yeah.
And
Rabbi Yochanan was also in Rabbi Yeshiva, but he was a junior Talmud. He describes in Holden how he sat 17 rows behind Rav. Yeah.
Yeah, and the fire
was
coming out.
Yeah, and forced the fire. Yeah.
By that time, that Rav Yeshiva, the Mishnah was already written.
It's possible, but it's also, first of all, we have, again, Rav can understand the Sulam of our Mishnah doesn't mean all Sulam. It means maybe only a Tome or other such Sulam where you have exceptions to the rule. But second of all, also, many of the Mishnayos were formulated as in the way we have them now long before Rebbe. Rebbe decided that this is the official one. And, you know, but,
they were kind of, that was the way that they said it, like
right.
Rice are one after the other.
Okay, let's go on. Okay, so now we have this machloikas between Rav and Rabbi Yechon. If a Zohar does Malika, is the bird Matamah based on Leah or not? Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah. We said at the beginning of the Mishnah, call up Sulim Shemolchum, Malikasim Sula. We say all Sulim that do Malika, their Malika is possible. And so what does that mean? Bishlam a lot of Yechanan call the Yisur Yazar. So according to Rabbi Yechanan, I understand what the word call means. It means to include a Zar. It means to include a Zar, and his Malika is possible, and therefore it's Matam of Beit Ablia. The actual gears that we had in front of us in the Mishnah, actually, is when they called him Sula, the Ainim Atama of Beit Ablia. So Rabbi Yochanan would have to have, we would have to say therefore that Rabbi Yochanan would have to have the Gusa Sula Umasamer based on the year rather, but fine, okay. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can say that's what the word kol means, not just one kind of fossil, but all of them. El or Rav kol li suimai, but according to Rav, what is the word kol coming to include? According to Rav, if you're saying that most Sulaim Hujuma, that most Sulaim Hujuma Lika is the time of Beis Amidah. I had it backwards. The Birchanan is the one who says Zor ain the time of Beis Amidah. Meaning he says all Sulaim is not the time of, exactly as we had it in the Mishnah. So never mind you, sorry. Yes, I got mixed up. Okay, fine. So according to the Birchanan, we understand. When the Mishnah says Kol up Sulaim Shemol, so we call them Sulaim ain the time of Beis Amidah, meaning exactly what it sounds like. Kol, meaning every kind of fossil that you can think of. Zor, Onan, Shvul, Yoim, et cetera, et cetera. But according to Rav, El of Rav, Kol is to your mind. But according to Rav, what is the word Kol coming to include? According to him, most Sulim are Mitzvah of Beis Amidah. Maybe a Tomei is not, but what other ones are you including? So my answer is, what's the problem? Lovely, three, smell, Kalila. So you could do, so can't you say that the word Kol includes if it was done with the left hand or if it was done at night? And the Gemara asks like that, what are you talking about? Smirgo Lila Behedia Katani. The Mishnah explicitly says if he did it with the left hand,
right,
or if he did it at night, you wouldn't have to use the word ko to imply those when it says so. Okay, the Gemara says that's not a big deal. Tani Behadia Mepharish. You could have, the Mishnah may have used the word ko to generalize them, and then it spells out some of them to just smirgo them Lila. Because according to Rav, those are different than the other kinds of stolen. So you could say, in other words, that according to Rav, ko means that. It means that aside from a Tomei, you also have Shmuel and you also have Lila. Any ones where you have exceptions to the rule where they are kosher, but in the Azara, in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore Kol includes all of those. And then the Mishnah spells out a couple of them, Shmuel and Lila. Okay, so that's what it means. Kol. It means according to him, it means Shmuel, Lila, and also Tomei. So no proof against Rav from this Mishnah. But Toshma, come, let's continue. Our Mishnah says at the end, Zehakval, the general rule is as follows, Kol Shahayah Sula Bakodesh, Enim Atam of the God of Mabay Sabiyah, anything where the Sula took place in the Kodesh, or where it's a Sula that can be kosher in the Kodesh, or whatever, according to the various explanations of Rashi and Tosfos, Enim Atam of the God of Mabay Sabiyah, we say it's not Matam that a person's clothes when he swallows it. Because as we said, when a person swallows a Niblos Otar, he becomes Tomei and his clothes that he's wearing become Tomei as well. So the question is, what do you mean? Again, what do you mean that called kol shahay yisul of a kodesh? Vishlema lirav yechanan kol yisul yizor. So according to Rav Yechanan, I understand. The word kol means to include a zor and the other psulim because of the psul of a kodesh, because the psul took place in the azara, or whatever, then therefore it's not in the time of the God. El lirav yisul yimai, but again, according to Rav, what are you going to say that this kol is coming to include? You're not going to say again that the Mishnah is implying with the word kol that it's including Lila and Smo, because we already spelled them out. There's no reason to imply them again. Okay, the Gemara answers that. New, Gulikai Nech. Okay, new, according to your own Svara that you're asking the question, Shaloi Hoyek Sulaba Kurdish Li Suri Mai. After all, you have two things. You have, you're asking from the Mishnah. You, the Makshin of the Gemara, are asking on Rav that what is it, it seems that the word Kol Shepsula Bekodesh isn't coming to add anything extra. So therefore, it has to be like Rav Yechanan. But the Mishnah continues, Shaloi Hayyip Shepsula Bekodesh, but the Mishnah continues with the rule, anything where it was not Shepsula Bekodesh in the time of Beit Amliya, you would also have to ask, you could ask both of these three, you could ask according to Rav Yechanan for that matter, what is that coming to include? But it means, in other words, that once we see the wording of the Mishnah doesn't fit so well according to the Yeshanan, then we can say, okay, so it doesn't fit so well according to Rav, but we don't have a contradiction to make to Rav.
Right.
So what it means is, therefore, we have to say that both Rav and Rav Yeshanan must have ways of explaining this phrase, Kol Shep Sula Bakodesh and Kol Shein Sula
Bakodesh.
You've
got a dead ringer for one or the other.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out of your way to say,
yeah.
Oh. Ella
racially suya shchitas kodesh b'sneim. No, what it is like this: the reisha that said that anything that sula b'kodesh is not mitamav beis abliya is coming to include the case if you took kodeshim and shested them inside the azara. Now shechting is not melissa. It means that you did, means that you shechted them. Nevertheless, though, it's coming to include, because it is possible, because birds for korbanos are supposed to have melissa done to them. Nevertheless, because it was still of a kodesh, it's not the time of Beit Avliya. The shechita, even though the korban is now possible, the shechita is enough to take away the tumor of nivlas oishtachos. So that's what the reisha, that's what the kolsh of still of a kodesh is coming to add. And sefer the isurim, which is chulin b'chutz, and the sefer that says loy harim psul b'kodesh is coming to include the case where you took chulin, a chulin bird, and did melika teir outside the azara. That it is in the time of Beit Avliya, because fundamentally melika only applies to kodeshim and only inside the azara. So if you did it outside the azara and you did it to chulin, or for that matter also if you did it to kodeshim outside the azara also for that matter. But the Mishnah had mentioned that case. The Mishnah hadn't mentioned the case of shechting kodshin in the Azara, and the Mishnah hadn't mentioned the case of doing melikta the chulin outside the Azara. So those are the ones that we can include, that the kol shep still of a kodesh and loyha is still of a kodesh. That the one is not Matana and the other one. So both Rav and Rav Yechanan can use that, and therefore we don't have to say that the Mishnah is implying that the Tzulim, the Zor, and the Onion, and so forth, are Matamu Beis, that they're Malukah and Matamu Beis. Okay. Fine. We don't have a proof one way or the other from our Mishnah. However, Tanya Kavasei, the Rav Yechanan, we have a Braita that goes like Rav Yechanan's understanding. The Braita says, Molka Zor, if a Zor does the Malika of a Korban, or Molka Postel, or any of the other Solem Yerit, a Pigul Van Noisav Achame, or if the Korban was Pigul or Noisav Achame, all those things, Ein Metame Na Beit Avliya, all those things are not Metame when a person swallows them, because again, the Malika, in the first two cases where the Zor or the Postel did it, the Malika itself was done in a kosher, or it was done in a kosher way. It was just done by the wrong kind of person. Pigol, it was done by the right kind of person, but with the wrong machshava. And Noser and Tomei, the actual korban, was done properly, and it only became nifsal later. Okay. So therefore, that braisa agrees with Rav Yechanan, and then it says, if a Zor did Malika, then Ein Metamah Beit Avliya. Rav would say that if a Zor or a Kotel did it, it is Metamah Beit Avliya. So the braisa supports Rav Yechanan's understanding. You could say Rav could find a different braisa, maybe fine, but at least you have a braisa according to Rav Yechanan. In general, anyway, the halacha, when you have a halacha with Rav and Rav Yechanan, the halacha is usually like Rav Yechanan anyway. Okay. Fine. Yeah, but nevertheless, that's how it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the fact that it is energy. It will make a difference. Could be, but okay. Anyway.
Later.
All right. Yeah. Okay. No, but he's Rabbi Yechanan out of legend. Okay. Anyway. On the side over here, we have these couple of blocks. We have, besides the regular Rashi printed on the side, we have that Rashi Ksav Yad. We had such a thing back in Baba Basra. We have it in a few places in Chap. So here, this Rashi Ksav Yad points out that also there's other things you can learn from the Kolsh of Sulav HaKodesh and Shaloi HaSulav HaKodesh. It can also include, for example, the various other cases where a bird is possible for a korban. Rezeya V'nirba, for example, where it was used for immoral relations. Or Nevad, it was worshipped with Abba Dazara, et cetera. You have a bunch of examples that you could say that's not Sulav HaKodesh. Okay. Fine. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak says in this connection.
No proof.
Right, well, not no proof, but again, right. Okay. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Shamaiti Shtayim. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I heard two dinim from my Rebbe about a Zor doing things. Achas Knitzat Zor v'Achas Melitzat Zor. One was a din if a Zor does Knitzat from a Mincha. The other one if a Zor does Melitzat on a bird. Achas Pered v'Achas Loteret. One of them, my Rebbeim, said that even if you put it on the Mizbeach, you take it off. It has no Shaychus in the Mizbeach. And one not. Below your Dinah, but I don't know which one is which. So now we have to figure out logically. On the Chizkiyah says, Mistabra Knitzat Pered Melitzat Loteret. It's logical to say that the knitza that was done by a zar, even though it was placed on the mizbeach, should be taken off the mizbeach. But the melissa that was done by a zar is not. So let's figure out why. Maishna Malika Diyeshna Babama. So you're going to ask, what's the difference on the face of it? The difference might be that Malika, you can have, again, as we said before, Zohar could do it by Bama. Therefore, we should say it has enough, and therefore we should say, because you said we didn't really learn from Bama. We said we learned from Zohar Sparah to Ola. But the point is, therefore, it has enough Kedusha, it has enough of a Shaifos to the Mizeah to be left on the Mizeah before it's put on there. Well, by that logic, Kamista Nami Yeshna Obama. You could argue the same thing. Kamista can be done by a Zohar as well. Again, by a Obama, there's no concept of a Kohen as these things. So a Zohar could equally well do it over there. So why should there be a difference? So the answer is okay, so Chitema in Mincha Obama. So you're gonna answer maybe that there's no such thing as bringing a Kohen Mincha by Obama. Well, if you're going to say that, then also ain't Opus Nami the Bama. Then you're going to have to say that there's no Opus brought on Bama either. So regardless, one way or the other. The reason is the Amr of Sheshet, because Rav Sheshet says that those two are connected. The Divrei HaOmer Yesh Mincha B'Bama Yesh Opus B'Bama. According to the opinion that Menachos can be brought on a Bama, that birds can also be brought on a Bama. The Divrei HaOmer ain't Mincha, ain't Opus. The reason, according to the opinion that you can't bring a Mincha, you can't bring birds either. My timer, now why is that? Because Zvachim below Menachos is Zvachim below Oisus. Because the prophet only mentioned the concept of bringing Zvachim, meaning animal carbonus, which means, therefore, not Menachos and not birds. Now, where do we see Zvachim? Rashi says that here we're talking about before Matan Torah. The prophet tells us at the end of Parashat Mishpatim, that it tells us the events that happened last couple of days before Matan Torah, filling in the information part of Yisrael, basically. He mentions over there that Moshe built them as Be'ach, and the Bechorim came, because it was before the Chetah Eidol, so the Bechorim were doing the Avodah, and they brought Korbanos. The Pesach says, Be'yizbuch Zvachim Shlomim. This was a Bama, because the Mishkan hadn't been set up yet. This is one of the periods in history when Bamas were allowed. And we see the Pesach only mentions that they brought Zvachim over there, implying, according to that opinion, that there is an opinion that says that Zvachim is meant in a narrow sense, therefore it means on a Bama, there's nothing to allow us to bring a Mincha or to bring Opus, because neither of those are Zvachim. By the way, I mean, when we learned before Perek Ezra Makom and Shal Zvachim, that may be why the Perek didn't include over there about Minachos and about birds, and I left them for the next Perek, because they're not Zvachim. Okay. Anyway, on the side of it here, it brings a nusach from Yalkut Shimoni, and some of the Meforshim also talk about that this may be the more correct Girsa, so not like Rashi, that rather the way we see Zvachim is the fact that you have a pasuk in Parashat Achrimos where it talks about how you're not allowed to bring korbanos outside the Mishkan, and it says because they should bring them to the Mishkan, the Zavchu Zivchei Shlom. They should offer them as shlomim, again implying that the whole concept of offering things on bamos only applies to zvachim during the time when bamos are allowed. Only applies to zvachim, not oisus and not menachos, which can't be brought on bama at all. Okay, anyway, there is such an opinion. So whatever the case, then the point is, so you can't say that kmitta could be done by a you can't say malika could be done by a zohar at a bama, but kmitta can't, because either you could do both or you could do neither. So again, why should there be the difference? Why should Rav Yitzchak Rebbe have said that one of them is in Ola Lo Yered and one of them in Ola Yered?
They should go together.
The answer is no. Ela Ema Ein Kiddush V'Klisharis V'Mincha B'Bama. No. The distinction, though, is like this. When it comes to a Mincha, it's true, fine. Let's say according to the opinion that a Mincha can be brought by a Bama. However, there you don't have the concept. Now, we know after the Kmitza is done, it's supposed to be the next thing you do, is you take the Kmitza and you take the Kmitza and put it into a Kli Shoros. That is the equivalent of the Kabbalah Saddam of an animal carbon. And now, by Bama, there's no such thing. But therefore, so it's one thing, where it's one thing, Malika, there's nothing else that's going to be done after the Malika except the Zirka, and fine, Hazar, the mystery, whatever, fine, and those are done by Koyanim in the Bismikosh. Therefore, you can say that the Malika of the Zohar, which is done exactly the same way as the Malika, the Malika of the Zohar by a Bama, which is done exactly the same way as the Malika done by a Kohen in the Beis Mikdash, then fine, it's enough for it to be im olo lo yeved, that it's enough for it to have a connection to the Mizeach, that if you put that bird on the Mizeach, you don't take it down. But when it comes to the Kohenus of Mincha, you have a difference, because when it comes to if a Zohar does the Kmitza of a Mincha by a Bama, that's it. You just take it and put it right there on the Mizeah. As opposed to when it comes in the business, if you have an extra step in between, you put it in a Kli Sharis. Therefore, you can say it's not the same, and therefore it's more logical to say that if the zorg is mitzvah in the bais mikdash, that it's too far removed from having any connection with the mizbeach to say that im olo lo yered. You would say in that case im olo yered. You put it on the mizbeach. Nevertheless, you take it down because it did the most you could say is that a zor by bama is able to do mitzvah, but it's not relevant to talk about putting in a tzvi sharis here because you don't do that by bama. Therefore, when it comes to the bais mikdash, then you would say that it has no connection with the mizbeach.
So there is,
that would be the distinction
between Malika
and Smith. Exactly. Right.
So we cannot translate from Bama to.
Well, we can't translate from Bama to the mizbeach. That's true. Right. Well, so with Malika, so we could because at least the Malika is done the same way. But here, right. Okay. Well, it's not a question of no proof. What we're saying is, in other words, that no, just the opposite. We're saying there is a proof that supports what Rabbi Yitzchak Rebbein was saying, that there's a difference between Kmitza and Melissa. That therefore, when Rabbi Yechanan said, I'm not sure which is which, now based on that, we know which is which. Now we know that the Melissa is an Ola Lo Yered and the Kmitza is an Ola Yered. How about,
what does that imply
exactly that if a Zor does Melissa of a carbon, so we said we had the Machlokas Vav and Rabbi Yechanan whether it's Mitamah Zaytaviyah. We said the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan on that. We said we brought a Braisa and according to Rabbi Yechanan that it's not Mitamah and not in fact is Halacha. Now we're saying further that also another Jinn with that bird is Im Ola Lo Yered, as opposed to if a Zor was to do Kmitza Im Ola Yered. So that's what it is. Tosfos actually points out that there's a further machlokas on this topic between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, which we'll deal with later when we get into the whole Im Ola Lo Yered business, that Reb Yehuda is going to say that even the Melissa would be tailored, because he says, just like the same thing as was done at night or went out or whatever, Reb Yehuda does not at all learn from a bummer what's kosher to say on the day after and what's not. So therefore, he would say that if it was done by a Zohar, either one is possible and goes off in the day. Fine. Getting back to the Mishnah, we said Moloch v'smol o'balai l'chula. We said that if he did the Melissa, and if he did the Melissa with his left hand or at night, etc. So we said that it's not in the time of Beit Avia. To that extent, it's considered the Melissa is valid enough to make it that it says it's not considered in Vela. So it's
left handed car.
Left handed carrying him our Bali.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Left-handedness is considered a Mormon. As far as if he's ambidextrous, we'll learn in Bechoris when we get there, that's the Shem, that's Machloit the Panoim, whether he's kosher or not, the Halacha is
either. But a coin is left-handed can be
a Yeah, by jochening, the only issue with Mumim by jochening is if it's a kind of Mum that'll make people stare, either that he can't spread his fingers properly, or that it'll make people stare at him, where nowadays if they're covered with a palace, that sign is not an issue, but yeah.
They throw a ball at a
contract.
Sure.
You're out. Okay. Turn it up on him. We're going to
brush yourself off it over the back. Didn't do it.
What?
Barbados.
No, we're straight at the door. So.
No, right.
You would think that if Malika on a bird was done inside the Azara, that it should be Matame the Godim when a person swallows it. Now, on the face of it, what does that mean? You know that the Kurianim are allowed to eat it. So you have a few different explanations of what the premise of the question is. Rashi starts by explaining that Rashi says what we're talking about is that fine, you have the Zeret HaKosov that Koyanim are allowed to eat it, but let's say for example that only applies to a Chazal. Let's say an Ola, where nobody's supposed to be eating it. How do you know that if a Melissa was done to an Ola inside the Azara, and then somebody eats it, that it's not Matamah Beit Avia? How do we know? Because after all, fundamentally, killing it by Melissa, on the face of it, leaves it Nevela. You could say, there's a cost of that in this case, the Kohenim are allowed to eat it, when it's a Chatzis, but not when it's an Ola.
So it's next
Nevela. What?
If it's not done properly.
Never mind if it's not done properly. The argument is, Rashi says, that you would think that the Torah gives a special heter for Kohenim to eat the Chatzis. even though Malika was done on it, and Malika really needed it, Nevada, fundamentally. So in other words, the Torah is carving out an exception over here and saying that effectively that Torah are allowed to eat Nevada.
Is it fundamentally not kosher and there's an exception, or is it fundamentally kosher and no exception is needed?
And in fact, I've mentioned before, and we'll learn in Menachos, when we talk about a couple of sukkim over there that in Yechezkel that seem to contradict things in the Torah, one of them is Yechezkel says, Torah are not allowed to eat Nevela and Shreza. And the Chachamim had a problem with that. What do you mean? Nobody's allowed to eat Nevela and Shreza. Never mind that. Seems to be contradicting the Torah, that he's saying only Koyanim can't eat it, implying that everybody else can. Until Hananim and Chizkiv and Goran explain that what it means is, Yechezkel was saying, realize Koyanim are allowed to eat a chasasos, which is killed by Melissa, even though fundamentally that is like Nevela, or maybe even is Nevela. You would think maybe the whole concept of eating Nevela doesn't apply to them. Maybe they're allowed to eat Nevela in general. Therefore, Yechezkel has to stress. No, the Torah tells us that he's re-stressing what the Torah says. No, Koyanim are not allowed to eat Nevela, with this one exception.
When do we bring the Melissa quoted in Nevela?
Melika, because properly speaking, the only, actually, you know what, the truth is we're going to learn in Kulin, we're going to learn the discussion over there whether brews require shittim in Atorah anyway. But if we say that they do, Melika is not shittah, it's the opposite of shittah. It's done from the back of the neck instead of the front, it's done by pressing. That's the point, in other words.
So how can it be
okay, again, but the prophet could be saying that even though it's Nevela, nevertheless, they still have a heter to eat it, but that heter only applies to a chasa. It doesn't apply to an ola. They never have a heter to eat an ola. But therefore, you would think that if malika was done to an ola, even though the malika was done properly and was done by a koyan and was done inside the azara, etc., nevertheless, if a koyan were to eat that ola, it would be mekamim zavim. You would think that's a b'raisa. Okay, you have a couple of other explanations.
No, clear statement from the Torah that it makes a nevela.
But if it's not shechted, then it's nevela. By definition, nevela is something that wasn't shechted. Right?
Except when the Torah says that it has to be
again, shechted. If we sit fine, but does that mean, according, again, looking at Rashi, does that mean that if it was an ola, where even though it was done properly, there's no heter for the koyanim to eat it, maybe the usual rules of nevela still apply to it? Okay, then
obligates them to do it this way.
Fine, but nevertheless, you could still argue it's Nevela and the Torah is master them to eat it.
Fundamentally not permissible, but the Torah gives this is a permissibility under these circumstances, or it's fundamentally permissible because it's done second way.
Well, one question. The discussion, that is
no.
The discussion.
Not whether or not it's permissible.
No.
Even though it's permissible, it makes it, whether or not it makes it an Nevela.
The definition of Nevela is something that was not killed by Shita. Here it wasn't. Not unless. The definition of Nevela is it wasn't killed by Shita. That's the definition. That's the Torah's definition, is that a creature has to be shechted. Again, if you say in Shita open up Torah, then fine, that's another matter. But even if you say in shchita lo open atzora, all that means is no matter how, then fine. If a bird was killed some other way, then you have the concept of nivlas atzora in the Torah. So even if you say in shchita lo open atzora, it would still mean that if there are cases in which it's nevela, melika would be one of them. Now, what you would say is, in other words, a bird doesn't require shchita in atzora. You would say according to that opinion. But nevertheless, if you didn't shecht it and it died some other way other than shchita, then a person makes a person tummy when he's swallowing it. Now again, over here what we're saying is like this. Yes, the Torah tells us to do melika. The Torah tells us the Koyanim should eat a bird that was killed by melika. But only a chasas, not an oila. So the premise of the braisa is, how do we know, therefore, that if they eat an oila that was killed by melika, that they shouldn't be tummy as having eaten a nivlas o'tora? Because they did eat a nivlas o'tora. And it wasn't covered under the exception that they can be a chasas. That's what Rashi's understanding. Many have choices talked about that we can be talking about the various cases that we said in the Mishnah where the Malika, for one reason or another, was possible, but it's still not the time of the government of the Beis Avriya. And in the Chabad Chaim brings a third possibility in his Pirush on the Tzvachim called Berach Soda. He said you can have another possibility. Let's say it was a chasas, but it was a Zorah later. Same thing. Okay, so anyway, how do we know that it's not in the Talmud regarding a base of Bira? Talmud loyim and nevela. Therefore, the Pasuk says that a person eats nevela. Okay, the problem is, Hanami nevela. What kind of an answer is that? This is nevela. That's what you're discussing. This is nevela because it wasn't shafted. Therefore, by definition, it's nevela. So what do you mean? The Torah says nevela. This is also nevela.
What do you mean the Torah says
nevela? The Torah says that if a person eats nevela, then it's the Talmud Bodin. And no, Ella Talmud Loi Matreisa. No, rather the answer is because the way the Pasuk phrases it, when it tells us din about that a person who eats a nevelas or Torah becomes Tomei, the way the Torah phrases it is Kol Nefesh Ashekhechom Nevela Utreisa. So now what are you adding the word Utreisa for? On the face of it, a Utreisa is not relevant. If a Utreisa is still considered alive, then it's not Matame. And if it's considered dead already, then it's the same as a Nevela. What is the word Utreisa adding? It's adding like this. Ma Utreisa she'en Materas at Eitzer.
Can a Utreisa be a Nevela? No.
Well, once it's Utreisa, eventually it may become a Nevela, but that's not the point. The point is, why is the Pasuk mentioning a case of it here? On the face of it, the Torah says a person eats Nevela or a person eats Utreisa. But if it's Tshreifer, if it's still alive, then it's alive, and if it's not alive, then it's Nevela. So, what does it mean? Ella, no, Ma Tshreifer, She'en Materas at the Isser, what it means is like this. The fact that it's Tshreifer doesn't take away, the fact that it became Tshreifer doesn't take away any Isser that existed on it before. Akol She'en Materas at the Isser, the same way, the definition, when the Torah says Nevela, it has to be something, the kind of Nevela that doesn't take away before you had an Isser on it, it would have been also an Eivim and Asai, and now that it became Nevela, doesn't take away any previous Isser, it still remains also. Yotta Malika She'lisnin, as opposed to Malika that takes place inside the Azara, that's done properly, Hoyo V'hi Materas at the Isser, since after all it is Makir the Isser, in the case of a chassas, definitely, and even in the case of an ola, before it wasn't able to be brought to the korban, now this militia is being mastered to be brought to the korban. Therefore, in the time of God, my base ablia. Therefore, from the connection with tereza, we see that kind of nevela is not like a tereza. Therefore, that's where we get that's not in the time of God, my base ablia.
Can you say that over the time of nevela?
No, what we're saying is, therefore, it is a nevela, but it's a different kind of nevela. What we're saying is, there's two kinds of nevela. The kind of nevela that's in Talmud Brother, my base Abliya, is where it didn't take away any issue that existed before. Before it was author, and now it's still author. The kind of nevela that's not in Talmud Brother is the kind where it removed an issue that existed before. Before it was not... It's still nevela, but it's a kind of nevela, therefore, that now is not in Talmud Brother. That's the thing. You're not allowed to eat it, but nevertheless, if you do, it's not in the time of God. Shavi hamolik, thereby, by doing that, therefore, we can add in also the following cases, where they are going to be in the time. Once we establish that there's a difference between two types of nevela, meaning, in other words, two different types of how the malika was done, was it master some issue or not, then you can have the cases, hamolik, and we have a simon cut. Which stands for the key letters of the following five cases, Kodshim Bachot, the Kof and Tzadik stands for Kodshim and Chot. So if he did Malika to Kodshim outside the Azara, where Malika only applies in the Azara, Umor Cholin Ben Mifnim Ben Bachot, so he did Cholin, which is the Ches, Mifnim, which is the Pei, or Mifchot, which is the Tzadik, and again, Malika doesn't apply to Cholin at all, Hoyle Ben Maturin, that's the Ether. Since such malika is not master any iser, because before it wasn't able to be brought to the korban, and now it's not either. Matanim gadim on base ablia. Therefore, a bird that was killed by malika like that kind of malika, that kind of nevela, is this kind that the Torah is comparing to tereza, where the tereza didn't take away any iser, and neither does the nevela status take away any iser, and that's the kind that is matanim gadim.
Find a given situation.
So again, that's the distinction we're making between a nevela that takes away the issur, namely a malika that was done in the Azara. Regardless of the type of korban, and regardless of the point of Yechanan anyway, even if it was done by a zar, nevertheless, that's enough to take away the status of it being the time of the garden. That's enough to make it not similar to trade. Tanya Idach, then we learn in another braisa. You would think that if a bird was shechted, a cholin bird was shechted, not malika, but if a cholin bird was shechted in the Azara, where it's also to eat, it's cholin ba'azara, so the shechita itself was kosher, but it's also to eat, the kodshin ben mefnim ben machot, Or if you shechted kodshim, whether in the Azara or kodshim birds, whether inside the Azara or outside of it, we're again in all those cases, instead of doing the litter, we're again in all those cases as possible, because we're supposed to do the litter. No, that's what we're asking. You would think Matama Abeis Amliya. You would think that maybe those cases are Matama Abeis Amliya, since they're not, since you're not allowed to eat them.
Like
Nevela. In that sense, they should be like Nevela. Again, Tamad Lema Nevela. So again, since the Pasuk mentions Nevela, this isn't Nevela, because they were shechted. So again, the question is, Honami Nevela, isn't this effectively another kind of Nevela, because there's no such thing as shechting the korban of an oif. And there's no such thing as shechting chulin, and there's no such thing as shechting chulin in the Azara, etc. You would think maybe it's a yes. El of Hamadlan of Trefa. Again, the Bryce says we have a comparison to a Trefa. Ma Trefa Shavav, and here the comparison is different than in the previous Bryce. The previous Bryce, we focused on the fact that when a bird becomes Trefa, it doesn't take away any issue that existed before. And therefore, Nevela has to be the same thing. Here we're going to make a different comparison. Ma Trefa Shavav Bifnim Kibachos. Just like the din that a korban is possible to trefa applies equally well in the Azara or outside of it, there's no such thing as a korban that is kosher as a trefa. For one thing, because you have a din that korbanos have to be things that are kosher for a person to eat, and trefa is not. You also have the Rambam brings the point that you wouldn't offer something that's trefa to your governor, so it's disrespectful to offer it to Hashem.
One second, when you use talmud ben trefa, didn't we say why do you use talmud ben trefa instead of using talmud leimar nevela?
Because we said already, yeah, because we said that's the thing. Paul said back to back nevela was trefa. But since we can't necessarily learn from Nevela, because this might be considered Nevela, therefore we're going to learn from Trefa and learn back from that from Nevela. Ma Trefa Shava Vesnim Kibachot, just like the concept of Trefa is something that applies equally well in the Azara or outside of it, of course Shava Vesnim Kibachot. The same thing, the kind of fool that we're talking about, that would make it, the kind of Nevela that we're talking about, that would make it in the time of Godim, is the kind where it's the same thing, where the same rules apply inside the Azara and outside. Yotah shechitas kolon b'fnim, as opposed to shechting kolon in the Azara, where there it's possible because it was in the Azara, it's kolon b'Azara, but had it been outside the Azara, it wouldn't be a problem, it would be kosher. Or the kodshim bein b'fnim bein b'chot, or kodshim whether in the Azara or outside of it, where again it's not the same thing. And we'll see why it's not the same thing soon. Kodshim, on the face of it, what do we mean? That's not the same. B'snim k'bachos. Kodshim are not supposed to be shechted. So what do you mean? It's not the same. B'snim and b'chos. That we're going to have to deal with. But anyway, first we'll finish quoting the Brayse. Aim the time of God and our base of the. So those kinds of things, therefore, we learn from the comparison, from the hekesh between Nevela and Trefa, that since these kinds of Nevela don't have the same dinim inside the Azara and outside it, therefore, they're not in the time of the garden. Okay, so now we have to figure that out. Bishleim a cholin, lo shavu v'fnim k'vachos, I can understand with cholin, sure. If you shech them in the Azara, they're possible because they're not allowed to be eaten because they're cholin b'Azara. But if you shech them outside, they would have been fine. So that's what it means, not the same inside and outside. So therefore, it's not like Tereza. At la kodshim, I divided cholin. But what do you mean? When it comes to shechting birds of kodshim, whether it was done in the Azara or outside the Azara, it's equally possible. What do you mean it's not the same v'fnim as the whole?
Shechting
birds, whether inside or outside, makes them possible. Yeah, because they're kodshim, so they're supposed to be malika.
So that's not trefa.
That's what we have to figure out. No, so in that sense, it's similar to trefa. It's the same kabachot. And we're saying that not. We're saying that there's a distinction, and those things are not in the time of the God of Mabe Sabliya. Why not?
Trefa.
No. The reason why we have trefa in the pasuk is not to tell us that if it's supposed to be trefa, he's in the time of the God. It's to tell us what kind of nevela are we talking about, the kind of nevela which is similar to trefa. Trefa, in this bright, we're focusing on the fact that trefa, the dinim of trefa applied same in and outside, in the Azara and outside it. Therefore, it has to be the kind, therefore, when it comes to Nevela, it has to be the kind of thing where it would be equally possible, whatever it is that you did, in the Azara or outside of it. So with shechting kolon b'fnim, we understand there's a difference in the kolon between the b'fnim and b'chos. But kodshim, if you shech them, there's no difference between b'fnim and b'chos. Either way, they're possible. So in that sense, they are like trefa. Why is the bright telling us or not? Amar Rava, so Rava says like this, because in her ilulah shchit as chutz v'chayve karet, because consider shechting it outside is strong enough You don't even need this drasha that Robert is saying. You don't even need the drasha of the comparison of Nevela to Shreifa to say that Shechting Kodshim, that Shechting Brood of Kodshim, that the Brood should not mean the time of Beit Avodah. Because Shechting of Kodshim is strong enough. Even Ha'ilah should have put the Chayvei Karis. Shechting outside the Azara, a Brood of Kodshim, is a strong enough thing to make a person Chayvei Karis, because he gets Shechut Echut. But even though a brood is not normally supposed to be shechted, nevertheless, if he took a brood of kodshim and shechted it outside the azara, he still gets karet. Therefore, lo toyo lo for shechting it outside the azara. You're not going to say, in other words,
what makes it karet? The shechted of the bird?
Yes. The shechted of any... No, just taking it out, of course not. No, the shechted of the bird.
The shechted of the bird?
Outside the azara. So even though you're not going to, you're not going to say that since the brood wasn't meant to be killed by shechita, it was meant to be killed by melicha, therefore you're going to say that if you did shechita b'chot, it's not considered shechot echot. No, it still is considered shechot echot, and the person is still chayav karet. Therefore, Rava says, for that reason alone, you should say, given that shechita of a brood has enough of a status to make a person chayav karet for it, loy toyo loy latarim yein avela, shouldn't we say, therefore, that shechita of kodshim it outside of the Azara is enough to be Metaharit from having the status of Nevela. And therefore, so that explains what we mean. That explains what we mean. That Shechting Kodshim Lachot is a different scenario because you have that. In other words, it's not a matter of whether it's different from Teresa. Just based on that logic itself, you have reason to say that Shechting Kodshim Lachot should make them not Metaharit based up again. Because after all, the Shechita is strong enough to give him Kodesh. It should be strong enough that therefore it's not considered Nevela anymore. Okay, then the question becomes, fine, in that case, that takes care of the case where he shechted Kodshim outside the Azara, Pnim Minolon, then how do you know the same thing applies if he shechted it with Pnim, that you're going to say it's also not in the time of Beit Avodah, and now we have to use the logic from the Braisa, because after all, it's not the same inside and outside. The actual halacha ends up being the same thing. In both cases, it's not the time of Beit Avodah. But the application of it is different. If he shechts the snin, he's not chayav karet. If he shechts the chut, he is chayav karet. Therefore, it's not the same thing. Unlike treifus, unlike melika of cholin, which would be the same inside and outside, here it's not. So the question is, then by that same logic, you should say,
the logic of saying
that if it's not the same, then it's not subject to the rules of Nevela or Tereza, and then it's not the time of the government, Beit Avodah. But if you're going to say it like that, what about Moloch Kodshim Bachot Namiloi? What are you going to say? Then you should say the same thing should apply if you did Melika of Kodshim outside the Ayyara, where our Mishnah said that is one of the ones, that's the time of the government, Beit Avodah. Because they're not the same inside and outside. Because inside it's a proper melissa and outside it's not. It's possible.
Do you get charged for that?
I think so. But
that's important because then it's a compare.
No, because if you do melissa inside the azara, then you don't get charged. So,
no, that's the point. Right. If you get charged outside the azara.
I'm not sure, but okay. But either way, the point is you still have a difference between them. The point is we're saying it has to be similar to today. It has to be the same. No, it has to be the same thing would apply to this particular case inside or outside the Azara. Treifa does. Treifa is also inside the Azara. Treifa is equally well also outside the Azara.
No, but outside the Azara, you get correct.
But outside the Azara.
If you compare it, it has to be poison.
But outside the Azara, Melika, I'm not sure whether a person gets kosher. Okay, I'm not sure, but that's neither here nor there. The point is, Melika inside the Azara obviously is kosher. And never mind, a person doesn't get kosher. It's a kosher Melika. The brood is kosher for a carbon. If he does Melika outside the Azara, it's not kosher for a carbon. Therefore, there's a difference. And that should be enough to not trigger the rule that's similar to Nevela. That's similar to Tereza. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi answers because we're talking about Melika. The Dungin Dabar Shalai Behechshere Mi Dabar Shalai Behechshere. The reason is you're going to learn something which is done not in the proper way that doesn't make it kosher, namely if you shech kodshim inside the Azara. Mi Dabar Shalai Behechshere, learn it from something else which is also not done in a kosher way, namely shech in the Machut. And you learn also shechting kolon with name from shechting kolon vachut. ain't done in Dovah, should I be Ashrei? Dovah should Ashrei. You're not going to learn something that's not the Ashrei, which is Malika outside, from Dovah should Ashrei, which is some, from something that's done the proper way, namely doing Malika inside. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's Shavu or Pnim Kabachol. The whole, this that we're saying, that it has to be, in order for it to be Mitameh, as Nidlas Oth Tahar, this that we're saying, it has to be similar inside and outside. That means when we're comparing across two things that are both kosher, or two things that are both kosher. Not comparing from one that's kosher to one that's kosher. Right. Right.
That's
fine, there we go. Okay. Well, the question is the law. You're telling me we don't learn things that way?
That
you don't learn Dabar B'Hashered and Dabar Shalai B'Hashered, right? Well, Tanya, but we learn in a Braisa. Minayim L'Yotishim Ola L'Yer. And how do we know that if the Emorim were taken out of the Azara, that nevertheless, if later on they replace them in the bath, they don't go down? So before we said, because we learned from Obama. And we said, we learned from Obama. Here we have a difference. Well, actually, it is the same thing. Shari is the kosher of Obama, because Yosef is kosher by Obama. So we see that we're learning Dabar B'Hashere from Dabar Shalai B'Hashere, because by Obama it's certainly kosher. Because by Obama, Yosef is completely kosher. By the Mizbeach, it's kosher. And yet you're saying that you're learning from one to the other. So you see that you can learn.
Obama, you're saying it's not, you learn from kosher to not kosher.
Right, and that's the point. You're telling me that you can't do that. But you have an example that you do. Again, the answer is Tana. Those Torah Ta'ola is a semaphore. Really, the Tana is basing himself on the pasuk those Torah Ta'ola and learning from that what is all of the Yerod or not. He's not really learning from the Bama. He's not really learning from the Bama. Therefore, he can't say he's learning from kosher for now. Right. Right. Okay.
This is kind of a unique thing because they're really coming up with things that, I mean, you don't have this kind of back and forth at all.
Well, we had a number of times like this
in
Boston.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is kind of like really, really, really creative.
Okay.
Creative thinking.
All right. Okay.
Unusual, right? Don't you think?
Okay. Mishnah continues.
Okay.
Moloch v'nimtis tresa. Now, what happens? You did. So we conclude. Therefore, that yes, that we had that gives us the source for the rules in our Mishnah. That if the Malika was done properly but by the wrong kind of person, then it's still any Matam of Vekamiya. But if it was done outside the Azara, or the bird itself wasn't kosher for a korban or colon or what have you, then it is Matam of Vekamiya. That's what we did with this whole discussion. Explain what we were saying in our Mishnah, the distinction of it. Now, what happens, Moloch v'nimtis tresa? What happens if you did a Malika properly on the bird, but then it turned out that the bird was tresa? So now it's not kosher as a carbon. Rav Meir in the Enim Atam of Beit Amdiya, Rav Meir says, fine, on the basis of a Kabbalah
Chomer.
Right, no, it turned out later on. Later on, they opened it up.
Broken part that would have rendered it in 24 hours.
Not 24 hours, 12 months.
12 months.
Okay. Rav Meir in the Enim Atam of Beit Amdiya, Rav Meir says, nevertheless, again, the Malika is good enough to make it no longer a Nevela, and therefore to make it that it's not Matam. Even though, again, it's not kosher for a carbon, so it's similar to the ones of the previous Mishnah, but it's not the time of Beit Avdiya, because the Malika was done properly. And he's going to use a Kabbalah Chomer for it that we're going to see. But Yehuda Omer Matanah, Rabbi Yehuda says it is Matanah, because he says Malika doesn't help for a Shreifah. Rashi points out on the basis of a Mishnah in Taharis that actually it's not only a machloikas regarding kodshim, it's also a machloikas as far as cholin, when you shech a cholin bird and it turns out to be tereza, where Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's matame and Rabbi Meir would say it's not. The same argument that we're going to have over here that Rabbi Meir is going to use to try and prove that it's not matame, even though it's a tereza, because it had a proper malika, he holds the same thing as far as cholin if it was a proper shreifa.
Are you fine? Malika.
He uses the same logic applies to both. Because Omer Rav Meir Kabbalah, Rav Meir points out, I can make a Kabbalah in Nivlach Behema Shematama from an animal. In Nivlach Behema Shematama Magor Masa, consider the nevela of a land animal, a cow or what have you, which the nevela of a dead cow, which was not shechted properly, is Matame a person when he touches it or when he carries it. Nevertheless, if the cow was properly shafted, even though afterwards you looked and you found that it's a shechita, nevertheless, it's not considered a nevela and it's not in the time of magor lamaaseh. It's also cheap because it's a shechita, but you're saying it's not in the time of it, something touches it. Well then, nivlas ta'oif she'ena mekame magor lamaaseh. A nivlas ta'oif, which is a much lesser degree of tumah, because you don't become tummy by touching it or carrying it in the first place. The only way you become tummy is by eating it. And then the only way you become tummy is by eating it. How much more so that shechting it, or in this case doing the liquor to it, should be enough to take away the trauma even though it turns out to be shechta. Which has a stronger trauma, not really a stronger trauma, they're both an alpha trauma. But the point is that a nivlas behema has more ways that it makes you trauma. If you touch it or if you carry it. Which can also include, by the way, if a person eats it, because if he picks it up and eats it, then he's a famine.
When you say shita
behema, you work with behema that's a shita with shechting. The mayor is saying the halacha is that the halacha is that the shita helps to make it that it's not matame anymore. So how much more so, he says, when it comes to a bird. That even though it's straight for the shchita, or in this case, the malika. An animal is not tummy while it's alive. There's no such thing. An animal that's a shchita. You're not allowed to eat. After you shecht it, you're not allowed to eat. But if it had died on its own, and then you touched it, or you carried it, you'd become tummy. But if you shecht it, even though you're not allowed to eat it, it's not matame when you touch it or carry it. So the mayor says the same way then, you should argue that a nivlas ta'oif, how much more so that shita would be matare. And he continues, ma maksinu b'shitase shimachshav to l'achila. Now let's consider, now we'll make a binyan out. We brought this earlier in the sugya when we had a video about using a kava chomer and then a binyan out. So just like we find by shita, that shimachshav to l'achila, that shchita of an animal or a bird is machshir to eat. And with the head of shefasi, which you must say, animals saying that shchita is enough to make that if it became shreif, then even though it was shreifa, it's still not matame when you touch it or when you eat it. Atmali kosei she machshir to achil. The same thing should apply to malika, because malika makes a bird of chatas oif able to be eaten. Therefore, to tire shreifasi midei tumase. Therefore, it should be enough to make it that even though it was shreifa, it's not matame. Once, in other words, we learn by a kava chomer from behemah to oif, and then we learn by binyanav, we learn from a binyanav from shchita of a bird to malika of a bird.
And we still consider it after we saying that it doesn't matame. Still considered after malika using an avela.
No, that's the point. It wouldn't be in the world. Okay, no, we said before that maybe any kind of malika is fundamentally considered an nevela. Fine, the point still remains. It's not the kind of nevela that's matame, because we're saying that we said before that even a kosher malika to a certain extent is considered an nevela.
Because it wasn't
shechted. But that's not the point. The point is that at least the malika removed the ister that you had before of eating it. So therefore, again, the same way as shechta of an animal takes away the is, makes it therefore that's no longer in the vela. Therefore, the same thing should be true by shchita of a bird, and the same thing should be true by malika of a bird. Rabbi Yossi says, fine, but daya can be lost behema. It should be enough for you to say, this is going to be the concept of daya we're going to discuss in the Gemara, that Rabbi Yossi is going to say, fine, it's enough to say that a bird should be no stronger than a behema. Shchita of a bird, let me call it. Fine, you want to say shchita of a bird makes it, but even if it was shreifa, it's not matame, fine, I'll accept that kava chomer. But I can't accept that now you're going to extend that to malika, because that means you're making what you're trying to learn to stronger than what you learned from. Because by behemah, there's no such thing as malika. You can't do that. That's the concept of daya.
Okay.
Not malika is weaker than shchita. Malika is something that doesn't apply to animals. So you can't say it joins further. You're taking the kava chomer and you're extending it to something further. You're trying to say that because shechita works by behema, therefore it works by an oath. And on the basis of that, you want to also say, therefore malika should work by an oath. You can't do that. That goes against the concept of daya, which is that you can't make the second thing any stronger than the first one.
Like Miriam.
That's the Gemara brings out at the beginning, but now it's Meyer's time, so we'll leave that for tomorrow. That's the thing. That's the first thing in the Gemara, but here is about this, about diet, right?
Look, I must be remembering it. How did I know that?
Okay, well, you can see it right in front of you, but also, whenever we talk about...
Wait,
okay.
Don't hear me.
All
year after day, a day ago.